Tomorrow on ESPN and the ESPN app, two Elite Eight matchups from the NCAA Women's Championship at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. 7 Eastern, Texas takes on South Carolina. Then it's the 2-seed Louisville taking on number 1-seeded Stanford. All the action coming your way tomorrow on ESPN and, as always, on the ESPN app, which is where you can find us every weekday morning. I am Greeny. This is Get Up. We come to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and we are jam-packed off a busy weekend. All the NCAA tournament action, we're going to get you some of that in a moment. But then most of the hour deals in all of the football conversation after the dealing that went on Friday that maybe reshaped not only the draft, but so much of the upcoming season. Let's roll it, Cindy. Let's take a look at the menu for hour number two. It is time to get up with the blockbuster deals that completely reshape the draft. Who is going where? We've got all the answers. Then, Buccaneer Bruce doesn't sound so fun-loving when he describes what's next for his Super Bowl chance. Wait till you hear what he said. And the heat is on the quarterback of the G-Men, and you might be surprised who is turning it up the most. All that and more as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now. To the football in a moment, but first, if he didn't see it, a thriller last night in the Sweet 16. Number 11 seed UCLA, 2-seed Alabama, 19 seconds to go. Bruins down by one, not anymore. Cody Riley, 2 of his 10, UCLA up a point. Same score, 7 seconds left. Herbert Jones gets fouled, 74% shooter. Oh, he misses the first, down one, so he desperately needs the second. Again, 74% from the line, but it's no good. Alabama's got a foul. UCLA is going to the line. They're feeling it in Pauley Pavilion and places thereof. And then you think they're going to win it. But hold everything. They make both free throws. They need a foul here. No, they don't foul. Oh, they give up a wide open three to Alex Reese, and he knocks it down. Those are his only points of the game, and a buzzer-beating three sends it to overtime. So you think, all right, the 2-seed. Alabama, they've got all the momentum in the world, but the OT would belong to the Bruins. Up by 5, David Singleton. Yes, plus the foul. He had 15 off the bench. Under 2 minutes to go in the OT. UCLA by 4. Jaime Jaquez Jr., yes, a dagger. He had 17 points, 8 rebounds. The 11-seed UCLA survives and advances to the Elite Eight, 88-78 in overtime. And so the Final Eight is set, and there is a West Coast feel to this business here. As you look at four of the teams from the Pacific Coast, including 3 from the Pac-12, and you see what remains as the Elite Eight is what's up next in the NCAA tournament. Up next here is the NFL. Here we go. The 49ers set Friday's trade frenzy in motion when they sent the 12th overall pick plus 2 additional future firsts and a 3rd to the Dolphins for the number 3 overall pick. So they're going hunting for a quarterback. Miami, meanwhile, continued the wheeling and dealing. They took that 12th overall pick and some more capital, and they moved up with the Eagles to go to 6 overall. So Miami positioning itself, it would seem, for an offensive weapon. The Eagles move back to 12. They could have as many as 3 first-round picks in next year's draft, depending on how much Carson Wentz plays for the Colts. So take a look at where this all leaves us. This is the current order of the top 15. Mel Kiper Jr. in his most recent mock had quarterbacks going with each of the first 4 picks, and there's no reason to think that changes based on what we saw on Friday. In fact, it probably solidifies it. So as I bring in the squad that is with us this morning here, you see Dan, Dominique, Mike T, Kimberly is with us as well. Dominique, we did not get to something that you thought of before our show this morning that I think is fascinating, and that is if you look at where the 49ers sit at 3, if you're one of the high-profile prospect quarterbacks in this draft, what thoughts are going through your mind?
Oh, I'm trying to get to the 49ers. I'm tanking all my interviews, trying to slide to number 3, because we all know how important the structure around you is to succeed at quarterback, and it is rare that you get the opportunity to go to a Super Bowl-ready team. If I'm Trevor Lawrence, and I understand that this rubs some people the wrong way, people may not like that Elway did it or Eli Manning did it, and they probably are annoyed that we bring this up every year, but players don't have power very often. If you're a high-ranked quarterback prospect, right now you have power. You can go to a situation that has George Kittle, Raheem Mostert, an outstanding offensive line, Brandon Ayuk on one side, and maybe the best offensive coordinator in the league who happens to be your head coach. Like, that is an ideal situation. If I was a quarterback, I'm pretty sure I'm willing to bet that the rookie quarterback next year that has the best season is whichever one ends up in this almost perfect situation. Not even to mention that the defense is loaded. And I left Deebo Samuel out when I was stuttering a little bit earlier because I couldn't remember Deebo. I left him out, and the defense is loaded too. So I don't know. I know it rubs people the wrong way, but I'm trying to get down there to San Francisco, or out there to San Francisco, if I'm any of these top quarterback prospects.
Yeah, there's probably no way, particularly that Trevor Lawrence does that. I think Correct. You can write his name in for Jacksonville now. But it does make sense, Dan. If I were to say to you, the biggest winner in any of this will be whichever quarterback winds up in San Francisco. And we could mention, you also don't have to start immediately if you don't want to. You have a Super Bowl quarterback in Garoppolo on the roster if you want to do the bringing him along slowly. Well, you could do the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes thing, Nick. It worked for them. One way or another, you have a lot of options there. Would you agree with that, Dan, as a quarterback yourself? Whoever winds up there is the big winner in all of this.
No, there's no question about it. And to your point, it can't be Trevor Lawrence. Zach Wilson could maybe pull it off and kind of tank the interviews. The great thing about Kyle Shanahan's scheme is it is so quarterback friendly because he marries what his offense looks like better than anyone in the NFL, the run game and the pass game. He gets that play action game or that bootleg game, and oftentimes guys are wide open. There's just chunk throws that are going to be there for quarterbacks. And as long as you can deliver the ball where it's supposed to be, you're going to play really well. That's why I love Mac Jones there. I think the San Francisco 49ers went up in this draft to go get Mac Jones. I have felt that way for a month. Mac Jones' strength, under center, play action pass, pistol, play action pass. Seeing the play action game develop after the snap and watching the defense move is his strength. He's a very natural thrower, something Kyle Shanahan loves. He's got a kind of torque snap release, something Kyle Shanahan loves. I think that San Francisco wanted to go get Mac Jones.
Everybody, every quarterback's strength is play action pass. Like, I mean, all quarterbacks except for Patrick Mahomes. He's the only quarterback who is not significantly better in play action than he is in everything else. Everyone else, yeah, they're good at play action pass because it makes it easier. So that's a great situation for just about anybody.
Let me bring Tannenbaum in here because I think there's two different factors I want to consider when it comes to that. One of them, let's make this one quick because then we can get to the second one, which is if you're moving up to three, I just want to make sure that my logic is working here. It means you are completely comfortable with at least three of the five quarterbacks in this draft. Yes, you will be perfectly happy because while you can guess, you don't know right. for certain who's going number two. You are totally satisfied with at least three of the quarterbacks that are in this draft. Is that an appropriate way to look at it?
1,000% Greeny. You can't give up that much draft capital that the 49ers did unless you are 1,000% certain that you love the third best quarterback in this draft. That has to be unconditional from ownership, head coach, GM.
Okay, and then tell everyone why tomorrow is a day where we will get a very significant clue as to which quarterback it is they like.
Well, I agree with the discussion about how great of a fit Mac Jones is, and tomorrow that'll be solidified because both Alabama and Ohio State on the same day will have their pro days. And it was reported late last night, Greeny, that both Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, the GM of the 49ers, are going to be in Tuscaloosa to spend more time and watch Mac Jones than they are where they could have gone to Ohio State and Justin Fields, where they're going to send their assistant GM. So presumably that'll probably be the last, for me anyway, the last box to check to say that they are definitively going to take Mac Jones at three, and the draft really starts at four now with Atlanta.
All right, so it's fascinating. I'm from so many different levels. And then, Kimberly, let me bring you in with this question here, which is a lot of people will look at this and they will immediately start putting Jimmy Garoppolo in New England. People have wanted to put Jimmy Garoppolo in New England since the beginning of this process, and they will see San Francisco aggressively trading up for a quarterback, and they will see that as the first step toward that. Should we be now on the lookout for Bill Belichick to make some kind of move to bring Jimmy G back to Foxborough?
Greeny, this offseason has taught us that everything and anything is possible and on the table. I think whether the Patriots at this very moment are trying to work out a trade, I don't know. But here's the thing. We have a month until the draft, and really everything's on the table because no one in the league believes Jimmy G is their long-term guy. Like, the 49ers at some point, yes, they have to say that. We know that this is smokescreen season. We understand that the NFL execs can't say exactly what they think regarding their own teams. And you're not going to, if you're the Jets, you're going to say Sam Darnold is great. You're going to say, we love Sam Darnold. So many teams want him. If you're the 49ers, you're going to say, we love Jimmy. He is our guy this year. But every other team knows, like, okay, at some point they're going to move on. And can we put together an enticing enough package that allows us to get him?
What do you think, Danny? Why are you doing that?
Well, I think, first of all, is Jimmy G done in San Francisco? It depends on who they draft. If they draft Mac Jones, he's gone. If they draft Trey Lance, I could see them keeping Jimmy Garoppolo until Trey Lance is ready. That being said, Jimmy Garoppolo has missed 23 games in the last 3 years. Okay, if we are going to hold Carson Wentz to fire for missing games and lack of dependability or availability, we've got to do the same thing for Jimmy Garoppolo. In the last 3 years, he's got the third worst interception percentage in the NFL. If we are going to continuously kill Jameis Winston for turnovers, we've got to do the same thing for Jimmy Garoppolo. So I don't think the Patriots are like, oh my goodness, Jimmy Garoppolo could be available. He's missed 23 games the last 3 years. He throws too many interceptions. So I get it. Like, there's this aura because he came from them, but were they beating down the door to go get Carson Wentz or Jameis Winston? No. So I don't think the Patriots will or should be beating down the door to go get Jimmy Garoppolo.
Go ahead, Neek.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And also, the team who currently has him has traded away just about everything to get away from him. So, like, that would give me a little trepidation also. Like, they gave up their whole future because they think they can win now with somebody who is not that guy. So I don't think that there is a clamoring to get Jimmy Garoppolo back to New England or anywhere else for that matter. Maybe somewhere like Denver where they feel like that – just having anybody as an upgrade over Drew Locke, but I don't see Jimmy G moving for going back to New England for anything sizable. If they're gonna willing to move Jimmy G for a fourth round pick, maybe they do it. But then if I'm San Francisco, I'm like, nah, we'll just keep him for that.
So let me finish this up with you, Mike Tannenbaum. Again, I will point out that you are a man who has sauna'd in your life with Bill Belichick. There doesn't have to be a clamoring for Jimmy G in New England. There just has to be one person
right.
who believes in him. And everything I've ever heard is that Belichick loves Garoppolo. So, Mike Tannenbaum, knowing them as you know them, what should we expect?
Yeah, and I disagree with what Dan said. The chessboards change. Coach Belichick's going to see it. They have to go get Jimmy Garoppolo because right now it's Jared Stidham, Cam Newton, or is Jimmy Garoppolo the best chance to give us a chance to win this year because they can't get up for these quarterbacks. The quarterback draft's going to be over by the time we get to 8 at the latest with Carolina, and I think they'll trade up as well. So if I'm Coach Belichick and I'm watching everything unfold, Jimmy Garoppolo is probably going to give him the best chance. I understand the injuries and the turnovers, but is he better than Cam Newton and Jared Stidham in 2021? And that's the question they're going to answer in Foxborough, and I believe they'll try to get Jimmy G back to them.
I have to leave it there for a minute. I'm coming back to this. I promise we have so much to say. Much more on that man, Jimmy G. Will he be the week one starter in San Francisco or somewhere else or nowhere else? Dominique will answer that question and more. And then we get to Danny Dimes, already under a ton of pressure. We'll tell you why the heat just got turned up even more in New York. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
The NCAA Men's Basketball Championship Elite Eight continues tonight on CBS, or you can stream games on the March Madness Live app from anywhere. For more information on game times and networks, go to NCAA.com. Back to the NFL, and there are lots of giant questions for Big Blue from New York. It begins with this. Will Kenny Golladay be worth all that money? The team signing the wide receiver to a 4-year deal that included $40 million guaranteed dollars. Then, of course, there's their star running back. How will Saquon Barkley bounce back? The one-time offensive rookie of the year played in just 2 games last year. because of the torn ACL. And then the big one, is Daniel Jones the long-term answer at quarterback? The former sixth overall pick is 21st in total QBR over the last two seasons. Well, in this really interesting interview that Ian O'Connor did with John Mara, the Giants president and CEO, basically the owner, for the New York Post, he had a lot of interesting quotes, including when asked if he thought Daniel Jones looked like a Super Bowl quarterback, Mara said, yes, he does. I can say that without any hesitation. When asked if he could win multiple rings like Eli, he said, I don't see why not if we put the right pieces around him. And I read those, and I must say that my eyebrow went up a little bit. And so I guess I would ask Dan Orlovsky, does that ratchet up the heat on Daniel Jones in New York?
It's unfair heat, but yeah, the heat is real. Here's the thing for Daniel Jones. Your offensive line still is bad in New York. So their organization, their owner, their general manager is going to expect Daniel Jones to do something this season that's unrealistic and be somebody that they should have never thought he should be. This is a bad offensive line. So great, you went and got Kenny Golladay. Is it still a bottom three offensive line like you had last year? Yeah. Is Andrew Thomas, their first round draft pick from last year, still a huge question mark? Yeah. So unless they go and draft one of those offensive linemen early this year, like a Penei Sewell if he falls to him, or Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern, the expectation is Daniel Jones is going to take this massive jump. And to John Mara's point, they haven't put the pieces around him to allow him to take that jump. This was my problem when they took him at six overall. Was he so talented that he could overcome the deficiencies of a subpar roster? Daniel Jones was never that player. And now the Giants are going to expect him to be that player. And that is unfair to young quarterbacks in the NFL.
Can I push back on that a little bit? And Dominic, you tell me what you think here. I think if I own that team, I'm thinking about the people who run it for me. We used a very high draft pick on a running back. We used a very high draft pick on an offensive tackle. We just spent a fortune on a wide receiver. At this point, my quarterback needs to get it done. Is that an unreasonable way to look at it, Neek?
It absolutely is unreasonable. And that was my biggest issue with the Golladay signing, was that Kenny Golladay is not a guy that's going to get open fast. So if he can't get open fast, he's a kind of contested ball catch guy. Yes. If he can't get open fast and he can't protect Daniel Jones, then he's not going to help your team that much. They have some weapons on that team that are serviceable. They don't have an offensive line that is serviceable. And I think that Daniel Jones was not deserving of that number six overall pick. But I got to be honest, Daniel Jones is better than I thought he would be. But he is being held back from us being able to see what he can fully be because they cannot protect him. And the most interesting thing about what Mara said there is it's all in relation to Eli. You think he could be a Super Bowl champ? Yeah, we saw Eli do it. And at no point was Eli like this world-beating, franchise-changing quarterback. So maybe he sees some Daniel Jones in Eli, but the difference was Eli had that defense around him. He had the luck of some catches like that. They protected Eli in certain situations. So if they can do all that for Daniel Jones, then absolutely. Then I think they could win a Super Bowl with Daniel Jones. But they haven't done that, and that is really hard to do. And Daniel Jones is not the guy that's just going to make everybody better.
Correct.
He's not going to break tackles of defensive ends and get open and buy time to throw a jump ball to Golladay in the back of the end zone. Like, you can't rely on that.
Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, I look at Daniel Jones' last 18 games. He had that fire start, right, when he came onto the scene in for Eli. His last 18 games, he's thrown for more than two touchdowns once. He's thrown for more than two interceptions the same amount of times. He, in the last 18 games, he's thrown for over 300 yards twice. He's thrown for under 200 yards four times. So you've seen the deterioration of performance by Daniel Jones. So then you have to ask yourself as an organization, did we get the pick wrong with the quarterback, or have we not given him a chance to properly evaluate him? I'll say this about so many young quarterbacks. You guys draft these guys young, and then you expect them to go just fix everything. They can't throw from their back. They can't throw to guys who can't get open. So again, the expectations are that Daniel Jones has got to take this big jump this year. They haven't given him the support to do that.
Okay, I get it. But I'll say the same thing again, Dominique. Then someone has gotten something terribly wrong because they have used their resources to put pieces around him. If those pieces are bad, then the people who made those decisions need to be held accountable because, again, they drafted a running back number two overall. They drafted the tackle high last year. They bought the most expensive toy on the free agent market in Kenny Golladay. What more do you want them to do?
Yeah, you're not going to get any disagreement from us on that one. Like, yeah, Dave right. Gettleman needs to be held accountable. And he's a guy who always loves the big linemen. So why hasn't he gotten the right ones there to protect Daniel Jones? And I, as I started this, I'm not a Daniel Jones truther necessarily. Correct. He's better than I thought he was. Yeah. But again, to be fair to him, like, it's hard. You can't really get a good read on him if they're setting up with guys that it takes time for them to get open and an offensive line that cannot give him time. Like, this is a poor marriage for Daniel Jones. And he may end up being successful somewhere else, but I don't see him succeeding in New York as it currently stands.
Super quick final word, Dan. Go.
This would be my last thing with my thing with the Giants. You can expect progress, but don't make it a make or break year for Daniel Jones because you haven't given him the people to make that situation a reality.
That's fair. Again, after the third year in these contracts, sometimes you have to decide on a long the fifth-year option and all of that. We'll see what happens with the Giants. Meanwhile, let's go to a team we know what they are. That's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We literally know exactly what they are because they're bringing back all 22 of their starters from the team that won the Super Bowl. Every player who started on offense and defense is under contract, so Tampa is literally running it back. And Bruce Arians, the head coach, was asked about how he plans to motivate this team, and he said, quote, "When our guys come back, and that's my job, I'm going to beat the bleep out of them. We're going back to basics, and we're going to have one hell of a training camp and know what our foundation is." So there he is. He's talking tough and all the rest of that. Dan Orlovsky, that sounds like exactly the right course to me. What does it sound like to you?
Yeah, that sounded like me Saturday morning at PG Romano lacrosse field when my 9-year-old started his lacrosse season. I got after the kids. Like, I get it. This is great. I love the fact that BA is, like, handling this conversation now. It's March 28th or something like that. When Tom Brady and BA are going to get after you like they're going to, complacency kills success, right? So I know Dom is going to shoot down this idea, but I do like the fact that he is getting it very clear across to his football team. We are going to go chase another one.
I wouldn't shoot down the idea. I mean, it would be unusual if he didn't say that. I guarantee you that every team in the entire NFL is going to hear their coach say a similar thing. But to be fair, the PA negotiated some limitations. They can't do two-a-days. There are a lot of things that they're not going to be able to do. Yeah. But coaches like to do that. It reminds me of the great Luther Vandross, that 1,000 practices is not enough. Never too much, never too much, never too much. If you are a NFL coach, when they are looking at practices, it is never too much. Oh, you don't like Luther?
No, I love Luther. I just didn't know he was coming into the show today. I just didn't know he was coming into the show.
Oh, yeah. Play it tonight. Luther. As soon as you're done with dinner, Luther. Pour some wine, turn on Never Too Much with Luther. I guarantee you have a great night.
Tell
Ms. Orlovsky, you're welcome.
For the record, it's the 29th, but that's neither here nor there. And then to sort of finish this up very quickly, March Dan. 29. So what Dominique is saying is no team can have the kind of training camp that we remember historically. And so maybe that actually works to the advantage of a team like the Buccaneers.
The kind of training camps that I went through watched. Those type of training camps.
My training camp was grinding, man. Like the 5 and 7 step drops would happen. I'd hit the car. We'd go play golf across the street. I'd whoop Kitna in golf. We'd come back. I'd tell him nice go route. We'd go back and play 18 holes again. It was a grueling training camp.
I covered the Bears training camp in Platteville, Wisconsin, and the hardest day I ever had was the day the snow cone guy didn't show up. That was a very painful day.
We've got something in common.
I hate this. I'm not enjoying this conversation.
Zach Wilson versus Sam Darnold. Find out why one of our crew says giving up on their current quarterback could be the biggest mistake the Jets ever made.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I don't know the question you were trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It is that time again when I will ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to Dominique Foxworth, and whether he wants to or not, he will have to answer the question. Neek, here we go. We've been talking a lot about Jimmy Garoppolo today, so the question is simple. Will Jimmy G be the 49ers starting quarterback week one of this coming season, yes or no?
Yeah, the answer is simple, too. No, I don't think he will be because I believe that they see themselves in their Super Bowl window right now. And how soon they win the Super Bowl or how likely they are to win the Super Bowl is how quickly the quarterback that they draft develops. And as we all know, you don't develop very much on the sideline. We can talk about what happened with Patrick Mahomes, but I'm pretty sure that if Patrick Mahomes started his rookie year, he would have balled out even sooner. So they're going to get their quarterback on the field as soon as possible, not waste any time with Jimmy Garoppolo, unless they go with Trey Lance, which no one is really taking seriously. Those other two guys, if it's Justin Fields or Mac Jones, I think one of those guys will be the week one starter for the 49ers because they plan on being in the championship game at the end of the year, and they're not going to do it with an underdeveloped quarterback.
Okay, so that is where the 49ers landed from all those trades at number three. Let's look at the other teams involved. The Dolphins wind up at number six in the first round. Who will the Dolphins take at six? Neek.
I think they go for a receiver, and it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase. Even though Devontae Smith is the Heisman Trophy winner and he's an outstanding weapon, I think Ja'Marr Chase a couple years ago was the best receiver on a team that had Justin Jefferson. It reminds me a lot of the A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf situation at Ole Miss. Both of these guys are going to be ballers in the league. And I think also Devontae Smith's going to be a baller in the league. But I think Ja'Marr Chase's size combined with his playmaking ability makes him a perfect fit down there in Miami.
To your point, in 2019, the year they won the championship, Ja'Marr Chase won the Biletnikoff Award as the best wide receiver in the country, opted out of last year. That leaves us with the Eagles, who wind up in all of this at number 12 overall, meaning they're not looking to get a quarterback in this draft. So the question is, do they have the quarterback of their future on their roster right now in Jalen Hurts? Neek.
Yeah, I don't think so. I like Jalen Hurts, and I think I can put it this way. I'll be rooting for Jalen Hurts, but I won't be betting on Jalen Hurts. Like, I was surprised that they drafted him as highly as they did because given what we saw from him in college, he was a good college quarterback at Alabama, but not good enough to keep his job, and he ended up going out and putting up some impressive numbers at Oklahoma, but some of the limitations of his game, they weren't really addressed. They weren't really cleared up in Oklahoma. Last year, he stepped in and was significantly better than Carson Wentz. But if you look at Carson Wentz's numbers, he was the worst quarterback in the NFL. I don't see them settling on Jalen Hurts as the long-term answer there.
We will see. He gets a shot, and as you said, we're rooting for it, if not betting on it. Meanwhile, let's get to other quarterbacks that we're talking about heavily today. And one of them is Zach Wilson, right? So we'll make this eye candy. This throw that he had in his pro day at Provo on Friday. Everyone in the world losing their minds. Internet, Twitter blowing up as makes this throw, rolling to his left and throwing it back to his right down the field. And everyone said, oh, my goodness, if you can do that, obviously you're a great quarterback. And then Lewis Riddick showed everyone on Twitter over the weekend, Sam Darnold actually not only can do that, he did do it. And he did it in a game with all sorts of defenders bearing down on him, keeping his composure, keeping his balance, and then throwing it to Braxton Berrios, of all people, who took it in for a touchdown. And so the idea here, and Lewis Riddick pointed out, and I thought this was just a great use of the medium, but I thought this kind of throw had never, ever, ever been made before yesterday, and you can't make a point any better, I think, than Lewis Riddick made that point. And so let me bring the crew back in here, and Kimberly Martin, let me start with you. It's obvious where I stand on all of this. I defend Sam Darnold at every turn. So when we see that, you say to yourself, oh, if you're falling in love with a guy in Zach Wilson because he can do that, well, you have a guy who can do it. But every sense I'm getting is that the Jets have made up their mind they're going to take the quarterback at number two, Kimberly. Is that what you're expecting?
Yeah, Greeny, I hate to break it to you, but yeah, my conversation with people around the league, everyone expects the Jets to go the Zach Wilson route. And when you ask them, well, with Sam Darnold, what's the market? You know, I was surprised too. People were throwing out first round picks. Like, we thought, like, oh, he'd go for a second. Well, the conversations I had with NFL GMs, most of them said maybe a third And they were sort of not really feeling great about that either. You know, one even said a late third might be a little too rich, or possibly a conditional fourth. And I think that's the problem when you look at Sam Darnold. Yes, he has potential, and everyone agrees in a better situation, better coaches, better talent, he would be a better QB. But if you're going to be a GM that's got to stake your reputation, or a head coach that's got to stake your reputation on Sam Darnold, what we've seen the last 3 years, he has not been a QB, a good QB, despite all of the, I get it, the adverse situations. And then the option is coming up. Are you going to pay him a ton of money for what you've seen on the field? You know, that's a tough question for a lot of GMs.
He's going into the fourth year of a rookie contract, which is a significant year. So I get all of that. I don't disagree with a word of it. And the market has shrunk. I mean, a month ago, there were a lot of teams interested in a quarterback, and now there are far fewer. So all of those things make sense. Dan, let me put the question to you this way.
Okay.
The New York Jets can choose at number two between taking Zach Wilson, and that's the end of the sentence, or they can keep Sam Darnold, and they can trade that pick. And we just saw what the third pick in this draft went for. So let's just call it roughly something like three ones and a three plus Sam Darnold. They appear to be choosing the other way. They're choosing Zach Wilson. In your opinion, Dan, for the organization, is that the right decision?
I disagree. I think it's the wrong decision. I would keep Sam Darnold and try to get those four first-round picks and rebuild my football team. I have been adamant. It is very difficult to go take a young quarterback in the top five and expect him to flip your organization. We just don't see it work out a lot. Now, that being said, Greeny, one, the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson at two. I'm convinced of that. Post-Friday, I'm convinced of that. Two, Zach Wilson is entering a much healthier situation roster-wise than Sam Darnold did. Three, and this is one of the most important parts of this, he better be as good off the field as he is talent-wise on the field. Because I look at Lamar Jackson, and yes, his talent has helped the Baltimore Ravens surge forward, but he's got a competitive spirit that Zach Wilson is going to need to have. And Josh Allen in Buffalo, yes, his talent has propelled them forward, but he's beloved by his teammates. Zach Wilson is going to need that. And Baker Mayfield's moxie is one of the reasons why Cleveland is so much a favorite in their division next year, plus the addition of talent. Patrick Mahomes' talent's great, but he's an alpha leader. So as talented as Zach Wilson is, Jets fans, I get it, and that's awesome. He needs to be as good off the field, and I think that's where the question lies, and I think that's where some of the concern lies.
You nailed it with the context matters. We look at all the successful drafted quarterbacks. They enter good situations, and we all look back on it and we're like, hey, Lamar Jackson is really awesome. He entered a good situation.
Yes.
Hey, Patrick Mahomes really awesome. He entered a good situation. The same is even true for Deshaun Watson, at least offensively. Like, we look at all these guys, they entered a good situation. The situation has gotten a lot better in New York recently with what Joe Douglas has done this offseason. So maybe Zach Wilson will be successful, but the reason why you go with Zach Wilson and you don't go with Sam Darnold is financial. It's about winning soon, winning quickly, and it's about saying that maybe Zach Wilson, even if Zach Wilson is a little bit worse than Sam Darnold, if we can get somebody who is a little worse than Sam Darnold at a much lower price for 5 years of price certainty, then you can build a team around that. The other flip side is, okay, we stick with Sam Darnold, we have to pay him the market rate for a starting quarterback, and then we must hit on all those draft picks that we selected. We must hit because we have to pay them under market value in order to be successful. So that's the argument. You get Zach Wilson, you pay him less, and then they give you more flexibility to do things with the rest of your roster. It's not an argument that Zach is so much better than Sam.
I have 30 seconds, Dan. Why are you doing that with your
head? That's where I disagree with you. Because when you're taken two, you're expected to be great. When you're taken two by an organization that has a young quarterback at the position that was just drafted a couple years ago, number three, and you're passing on likely 3 to 4 first-round picks before that spot, you're expected to be absolutely fantastic.
I'm with you. That's the expectation. But you and I both are not that dumb. We know that's not how it works. We just talked about how context matters. You're not going to find Michael Jordan in this draft. You're not going to drop somebody on your team and all of a sudden become a contender
to be
in the NFL.
I'm expecting him to be great.
He can't overcome. Go Go ahead, Michael,
the other side of this, just quickly, I have to go to a break here, is maybe in this day and age, that isn't the case anymore. Maybe just having a young quarterback who's inexpensive is actually what teams want more than they need them to be great. We'll take a quick break on that thought. Much more to come on all of these guys. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, all projected to go in the first round of the draft. Find out which part of their respective games made Dan Orlovsky go, holy fudge, that's on the way. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Within 10 minutes of the workout, I'm watching Drew throw, and I'm like, holy fudge, this dude does not miss. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to Purdue. So Aaron Rodgers, when he turns that corner, I just looked at staff, and I said, oh, fudge.
And he's remembering when Dan Orlovsky would sit there in December of 2019 and go, holy fudge, dude.
Stafford did not say fudge.
Only Dan Orlovsky can say holy fudge and have it sound like he's not cleaning anything else up. And so on our never-ending quest to turn everything into a feature on this program, we now present the first ever edition of Holy Fudge with Dan Orlovsky, where we are going to grade some of the NFL quarterback prospects' most impressive throws this season. Dan, I'm told it starts with Trevor Lawrence. The floor is yours.
Yeah, this one's going to be against the University of Virginia. Just watch this throw. This is what it looks like to throw with, like, aggressive touch. You know what's the best part? Watch it from this back end. Look at six. He's going to jump and be like, oh, I'm not going to be tall enough for it. That's a holy fudge throw. Look at that location. That's the best feeling for a quarterback. When you throw the ball and you see that defender jump like he thinks he's going to get his hands on it, and then all of a sudden he tucks his arms like, oh, I'm not going to get there. That's a holy fudge throw. Greeny, I like to go down to the shore. This is like the original fudge kitchen down at Wildwood. That's just a little fudge butt right there, fudge bite right there, not out of Trevor Lawrence. Now we'll go to Mac Jones, my guy. This is an awesome play. Like, okay, you're going to see a fumbled snap. And then I mentioned before, like, this snap release, this torque upper body. Watch it from here. Now, first of all, fumbled the snap, right? So often it's like this panic, like, oh, fudge, I dropped the snap. That safety's dropping down, chaos at my feet, pocket collapse. Look at that snap throw. That's a little fudge shop throw as well. That's like Shriver's. Shriver's down at the shore as well. Like, look at his feet. That's so nice, Dom. You see it, that double inbreaker. That's just another little holy fudge bite from Mac Jones. But this one from Zach Wilson is sweet. This is like pro day throw, holy fudge. Movement in the pocket, sprint towards the line of scrimmage, and like a 60-yard launch downfield. Ooh. Now look at the location of this throw. Look at, again, he's sprinting towards the line of scrimmage. Look at this, like, effortless flick of the wrist, and then holy fudge. Ooh. Look at that throw. Receiver, catch the football. That's like James's down in Seattle City where my family loves to go in the summertime. This is the holy fudge of holy fudge's throws in the kind of leading up to the draft by quarterback makes. If 86 catches that, totally different conversation. That's not a little fudge bite. That's like a big fudge bite.
And very quickly, before we move on to the next issue, can I just get Neek back up here? In your entire life, Dominique Foxworth, have you ever heard anyone else say holy fudge and mean it? Literally your entire life.
Oh, of course not, but I'm going to start using it. That's outstanding. And if I was those DBs, I don't care if it's a drop or not. You get up and you celebrate. You celebrate all positive things.
Fair enough.
All right, right there.
Let me go to winners and losers from the big trades of last week. And it starts actually with Orlovsky. Dan, as you look at those big trades on Friday, give me a winner. Give me someone who's a big winner out of all
this. Yeah, I think the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. I mean, I think more teams are going to go get quarterbacks. If you look at the four teams behind him, you're looking at pass catchers or teams that need quarterbacks. They're going to be able to trade back a couple slots, likely get the player that I think they should get, Penei Sewell, and add another high draft pick to go and get Joe Burrow better. The Bengals are big winners.
I like that. Dominique, give me a loser out of last week.
Yeah, I think it's the Panthers, and because it seems clear that they want to move on from Teddy Bridgewater, and what the 49ers just did is they put everybody on notice that the price of a brick is going up. Holy fudge, it is going to be expensive if you think you are going to move up and get a quarterback right now. That hurts for them. So I think they lost in this whole situation.
I'm with that. Kimberly, give me a big winner from last week.
Oh, Greeny, no doubt. It's Tua. If I'm Tua, after all the questions last year about me and am I the guy and me being benched for Fitzpatrick, I enter this offseason, I'm the guy. And you know what? On draft day, I know I'm walking away with some playmakers. It could be either Ja'Marr Chase, Waddle, Kyle Pitts. I don't think Penei Sewell will last that long, but even Penei Sewell. So if I'm Tua, I'm feeling really good about where I am right now.
I agree with that. He comes out of this a huge winner, and there had been some question. I don't think a lot of – they never made it seem like there was a question, but the rest of the world made it feel like there was a question. I want to get Mike T in here. Do I have Mike? Because I want to ask him his – yeah, this is Mike Tannenbaum. I want to get his take on that because I haven't heard you on that yet. The Dolphins, at three, were in a situation where they could have taken Mac Jones. They could have taken Trey Lance. They could have taken Justin Fields, started the clock 1 year later than Tua, and gone in a different direction and didn't. Is that the right decision for them to have made?
It is, because they were convicted about him a year ago. He had really significant hip surgery, no offseason program, no preseason games. So if you were convicted about him a year ago, give him a chance this year. And when they move back down, I like that first move, Greeny, because they were able to get two first-round picks and a third. They already signed Will Fuller. I think they would have gotten a really good player at 12. I didn't like going back up to six and having to give up that extra one next year, but obviously they're going to come away with a great player in either Ja'Marr Chase or Kyle Pitts, and that will give them a little bit like that Giant discussion about surrounding Daniel Jones with a lot of weapons. A year later, Tua will now have a lot more weapons this year than he had last year.
At the end of the day, Dan, it's a pretty simple question. Is Tua Tagovailoa better than a quarterback the Dolphins would have got, or whoever is going to be taken as the third quarterback in this draft? Is Tua better?
Oh, I think so. I still think Tua is going to be a special player at the position in the NFL. I think this, for the Dolphins, believe what they do, not what they say. And what they did was prove to Tua that they've got high expectations and aspirations for him, Greeny. I love the move from Miami. I think the conversation of moving off from Tua Tagovailoa is absolutely stupid. He's played like 9 games with a subpar offensive line and subpar skill group. Yes, folks, the 17-year NFL veteran who played for him in the 7th year of that scheme played better at times. That should not shock anybody. Tua still has the two things that you need to excel at that position in the NFL long term. Can you think and can you throw? Tua can think and he can throw.
Put Ja'Marr Chase or Kyle Pitts or one of those guys on this team, Dominique. Are the Dolphins ready to contend in the AFC this year?
Absolutely. I think they should contend. They won 10 games last year.
Yep.
So, yeah, they should be able to contend. This defense isn't getting any worse, and they are adding some weapons to offense. A quarterback in his second year should take a jump with a true or closer to a real offseason. Absolutely think they should contend. But I still think that the Bills should be the front runner. They haven't gotten any worse either, assuming that what happened last year for Josh Allen wasn't some sort of fluke and that it was a part of his maturation. He's going to continue to get better. It's still their division to lose.
What a division. If you look at that, Miami on the come, New England spending all that money, we will see. All right, as we continue here in just a moment, you will find out why the quarterback who gets taken third in this draft is actually the biggest winner when it's all said and done. We will explain next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The NCAA Women's Championship continues tonight. Two more Elite Eight matchups here on ESPN. Baylor taking on the top seed UConn, then Indiana and Arizona after pulling off big upsets, squaring off for the first ever Elite Eight meeting for either team. Both games are streaming live on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, we're just a few minutes away from First Take here. Coming up top of the hour, are the Nets buying their way to a championship? Stephen A. says yes. First Take, 3 minutes from right now on ESPN. And this one we set up for Kimberly because, as Dominique pointed out earlier, she lives to tell everyone when they're wrong.
Far and away, Greeny, you are so wrong.
I think I'm siding with you, Greeny, because I was still high on this Dak Prescott contract.
I think that Dominique just did that to disagree with Kimberly, to be completely honest with you. All right, this is called Tell Me Why I'm Right or Tell Me Why I'm Wrong. And Kimberly, here is my thesis today. In a league in which more quarterbacks are ruined than developed, the biggest winner in the trade last week is whichever quarterback goes number three. Whichever quarterback winds up in San Francisco is the biggest winner of that huge blockbuster day of trades. Kimberly, am I right or am I wrong?
It pains me to say this, Greeny, but you are so right. If you're a quarterback, what team do you want to go to besides San Francisco? Kyle Shanahan, that is one of the most QB-friendly offenses in the league. You're bound to succeed with Kyle Shanahan as your head coach. So now, you're right, Greeny, for once, yeah.
Dominique lives to disagree with you, yeah. But even he can't disagree with
this. I disagree. Because whatever quarterback goes there is going to be under the most pressure because this is a Super Bowl-ready roster. There's no one else to blame but you when you get there. You agree with Kimberly, you must be wrong.
Kimberly, tell him.
Like, Greeny, it's gotten to be a problem with Dominique now because he's just, like, not listening to logic just so that he can argue with me. But seriously,
logical.
If you talk about great situations, a loaded team, you obviously have a better chance of success with a good GM and head coach, which is something that a lot of QBs can't say.
That's fair, but, I mean, it's not like I'm escaping logic altogether. The expectation when you go replace a quarterback that took this team to the Super Bowl is to now take your team to the Super Bowl. The expectation in Jacksonville is to win five games. The expectation in New York is to be slightly better than Sam Darnold. The expectation in San Francisco, assuming they stay healthy, is to win the Super Bowl. A lot of pressure on that guy. You're wrong.
Let me ask Orlovsky what he thinks. The two teams ahead of San Francisco were a combined 3-29 last year. What do you think, Dan?
I disagree. The expectations on Zach Wilson will be sky high. I completely agree that this is the best place. This is the big winner. Whatever quarterback goes to San Francisco, best left tackle in football, best tight end in football, best play caller and designer in football, two great young offensive weapons at wide receiver, and a top 10 defense.
All right, and so it is nice to see that I got everyone agreeing with me, and Dominique, who is just a natural contrarian.
I said the same thing earlier in the show, Greeny.
Exactly.
I said what you just said earlier in the show, but Kimberly can't just get out here and get off easy. We got to challenge her.
Stupid, man.
The man lives to disagree with whatever you say. He could lock himself alone in a closet and emerge in the middle of an argument. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for getting up with us. See you tomorrow. First Take now.